welcome to East Meets West. I'm Olga Bataman.
I'm Tara Reid. Thanks so much for joining us. And thank you for all the comments we've been getting on Telegram and on X. We appreciate it. And your guest suggestions.
Yeah, they're coming in dozens. Thank you so much for that. We'll try to bring those guests you're suggesting to our studio.
Yeah. So there was a huge wrestling match at the White House in America. And it was kind of, for me, giving off those Rome in the latter days, right before
like
the fall.
Gladiators, right?
Like, here, look at our
kill
economy.
Kill him.
You can't put food on the table, Americans, and you can't get medical care, but you can watch men beat each other up. This is how strong America is, blah, blah, blah. The thing that made it very disgusting for me as an American is the fact that millions of dollars were spent on this spectacle when people are really struggling in America right now and struggling to make ends meet.
Tara, but don't you think that was done deliberately on purpose to entertain people and to distract them from the failures, from the ongoing failures,
like
the one in Iran, for example?
Yes.
And now from what we've heard, it was like just announced that on Friday in Switzerland, the deal is gonna to be signed. At least it was announced and confirmed by the mediator, by the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And I have to admit, Pakistan is really doing a great job. And it had once almost saved the planet from a nuclear catastrophe, as you remember. And now they also mediated another round of talks. And what Trump has announced that United States is stopping all sorts of military activity, including Lebanon as well. I hope Israel follows, because last time it was a part of the agreement, but no one followed that. Also promised to unblock the Strait of Hormuz. No further details revealed. But, you know, it seems for me that it is a failure. I mean, you can call it a win only trying to keep your face.
Yeah.
Because everyone understands if you're spending billions of dollars, you're not gaining anything.
No.
It's a loss, right? It's a failure. Yeah. So it's called political gaslighting. That's such a term nowadays. But I would say, even if it is, even if it's done to keep the face, to save the face, if Lebanese people are not being killed in dozens, let it be the peace deal. What would you say?
Well, I've been hearing mixture things. Trump has gone and said, of course, he would go nuclear on Iran if they didn't agree, which is the worst kind of diplomacy imaginable. But there's a lot of corruption going on around this whole activity, around Iran, around the oil and gas markets, around the stock market. And we have a guest, actually, who's amazing. And when I really want to know a deep dive or really know what's going on in America, I actually turn to a lot of her, a lot of her content. And her name is Leah of the, Leah Files.
Leah
and
Files.
She has a background in economics, as well as an intel background. And she can tell a little bit more about it. But she's here with us. And I'd really like to ask her opinion about this peace deal and if she thinks that it's going to go anywhere or fall apart.
Leah, welcome to East Meets West.
Welcome.
And first of all, let me just start with my compliments to you, because you're, and I really encourage all of our viewers to find and follow Leah on YouTube, on TikTok, because you can feel Leah has this experience in intel, because she really goes deep into every investigation. And some of the topics that we're going to discuss today here, I honestly, being a news producer, I found them for the first time in Leah's videos, Leah's investigations. So Leah, such an honor having you. Thank you so much
thank
for doing
you.
Your job.
No, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
So,
Leah, do you want me to?
Let's start with this potential deal on Iran that Trump has announced. It is to be signed in Switzerland on Friday. So what do you think of that?
Oof, I filmed a podcast last night about Iran and just what's been going on with it, and looking at Libya and Iraq and Vietnam from the past and just what parallels there are. Because the problem with this peace deal, this MOU, it's just not a, to me, it's a ceasefire until they have the real conversations. So we haven't really solved for anything. We haven't gotten to the hard conversations about getting rid of the uranium. Nobody's agreed to do any of the things that we're saying we want. So to be honest, I don't think it's strong. I think it's, I call it performative politics and market manipulation. I think we've seen a lot of that. And I'm going to continue to be a skeptic because that's what they have done to us over the past 2-3 months. Right. Is constantly we have an agreement, it breaks. And if part of that agreement is Lebanon, then absolutely not. I think I woke up this morning, it is early here, it's 7 a.m., but I think that I woke up to Israel bombing Lebanon, Beirut overnight. So that agreement isn't going to hold up. So if Iran is going to take Lebanon off the table, then maybe we'll get somewhere. But if Lebanon's not off the table, I just don't see it. I don't see it holding. I think everyone is just.
You made a really good point. And you know a lot about how the operations go with communications with these kinds of things because of your background. Could you talk a little bit just about your background and how you kind of came to your conclusions?
Yeah, I was an economics major out of school. I started right out of school. In Intel. And so I was at NGA and then I went to NRO and then I became a government employee at DIA. And then I went to the agency for quite a while and NSA. And then I went back to the agency. So I spent 20 years just kind of, I got to understand all of our, you know, our satellites, our SIGINT, our HUMINT. But I was a money person. So, you know, what's interesting is that when I was read in, especially at the agency to our programs, I worked with our CFO. I worked with Congress. I understood how we made these decisions. Mm-hmm. And what is alarming is that we don't really have a good process for these decisions. And I talk about it in my podcast that I filmed last night, that it seems like Iran and what we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And we said that we went in for a nuke, right? We didn't want them to have a nuke. We said that we went in for people, but both of those have been proven to be untrue based on our actions and them not having a nuke and not listening to our intelligence community saying that we didn't have one. And so that alone got me thinking, then why are we going in? And a foreign enemy is, in the past, the most common way to unite a country that is becoming divided. And I do think that it really seemed like that's what we wanted, and a distraction from the Epstein files. And it's just not going to plan. And I've done war games before. And the minute we went into Iran, I was like, this doesn't make any sense how we're going about this. I don't even think we war gamed this out. It just made zero sense, our strategy. And I think what's happening is that we've been reactive since, and you can see it. And that's why we get the flip flop, because they just don't know. I don't think they realized how big Iran was. I don't think they realized how Iran would react. And it's really screwing up the strategy. So,
and I think they underestimated how dedicated the Iranian people were to their leaders. I think they underestimated that. That's pretty obvious. But I know you've done a lot of deep dives about the nuclear issue in general. And I know my colleague Olga can speak more to that.
I'm really passionate about nuclear sphere, as you may know. Like all of the male family members of mine, they do work in the nuclear field. And that is the topic, Leah, that I discovered from one of your videos. Mm-hmm. And it's getting no coverage, I would say, whatsoever in the US media, nowhere in the West. The program of handing weapons-grade plutonium from old Cold War nukes into private hands. And this process is developing. So now the Department of Energy has selected 5 private companies and it's being negotiating the details with them. And it's really unprecedented because from what I know, nowhere in the world plutonium, weapons-grade plutonium, is being held in private in the hands of private companies. So I would really love you to share what you could find, and then I can also share some of my ideas in these regards.
Anytime big news comes out, I always look at what other news is coming out at the same time, and that's typically how I find what these things are, what they're trying to hide. And this just happened to be one I stumbled across 2 weeks ago. So the Department of Energy was signing an agreement to give very cheap for services. Obviously, they can't give it for free. Weapons grade plutonium, 20 tons of it, to 5 private companies. And I think Carter was the one in 1977, I think it was, who signed, into law, basically, that we were not going to do that because it is so dangerous. And for us to do it for AI energy, I understand its benefits. However, there's too much risk in my eyes to hand over weapons grade plutonium, the raw source of it. It's not like it can't be made into bombs. I think it can be made into 200. I think that was the number, a lot. And that's very concerning because if it falls into the wrong hands or somebody is bribed, what are you going to do? And that's the really concerning part of it. So yeah, the 5 companies, you know, Sam Altman from OpenAI, he was the head of one. Their boards are really strange. They're all interconnected with DOE and this administration. And that just makes me more concerned as far as what is the real motive here? How can you power AI on something that's temporary, right? Like, it's not going to last forever. So that's my concern.
Leah, again, as a daughter of a nuclear physicist, I know that this weapons-grade plutonium, it can be used in 2 ways. One way is what Department of Energy is claiming it's supposed to be used. It's actually this mixed oxide fuel for nuclear power plants. And Russia does it. Russia is the country that has this full nuclear cycle. We have the Belayarsk nuclear power station where we can use this plutonium. United States doesn't have such a plant. It doesn't have such a plant to manufacture, to produce this mixed oxide fuel. And it's really hazardous. It's really radioactive, highly radioactive. So from what I know, one of the companies, its total funding, it's 2 point something million. And can you imagine the amount of funds you need, you know, to secure safety of those plants, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to do with 2 point something million, right? Mm-hmm. And from what I know, like 20 years ago, United States had this program of making this mixed oxide fuel from plutonium, but it failed. It was 70% ready, but it had finance problems. And then the license was revoked. So it failed, and now handing it, even if you pursue only this goal, you know, a peaceful nuclear energy, it's really risky because how is it trackable? What about IAEA? What about non-proliferation? How would you be able to track this plutonium? This poses a threat to the whole world. What if, as one of your, so some of the congressmen, they raise awareness of public about what's going on. So he said it. It's like selling nukes at Costco. So if once this plutonium is in Ukraine, for example, or Israel, which I have almost no doubts about, so it's non-proliferation, which is the most important thing, and bringing it into the hands of private companies, it makes it completely untrackable, as for me. Right?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And 4 of those companies, to your point, are only one is traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Only one is large enough to even try to be able to handle something like this. The other 4 are small businesses. And yeah, to your point, to put them in those hands, I don't understand how they're going to keep track of it.
Another issue of untrackability, so to say, is the process of merging armies.
Oh, yes.
Of U.S. Army and the Israeli army. You also had a bunch of videos. Can you elaborate on that, please? Because from what I can understand, it was also sneaked, so to say. It was sneaked in a 1,000-page bill. So did they deliberately, did it on purpose to hide, you know, this Article 224 to hide this merging of the armies from the public?
Yeah, well, two things happened. I don't know if you guys have seen yet, but they had 224, which we'll talk about, but also Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, just last week snuck in Section 622 into the equivalent of the Intel bill. So the National Defense Authorization Act, the 1,000-page must fund bill that they snuck that 224 into, that's the DOD. And then you have an equivalent for the Intel world. That's about 200 pages. I think it's like 192. And he snuck in that we would have to share our intelligence secrets and that no president could say no. And so these two things are happening simultaneously. And if you go back like a few months, you'll hear Benjamin Netanyahu talking about, we don't want your funding anymore. We don't. And I was like, that's strange, right? We've been giving them funding for a long time. Americans are starting to fight it and wake up. We don't want your funding anymore. And then this 224 happens where these congressmen sneak it in. The congressmen are funded by defense contractors and AI.
Shouldn't they have to report as foreign agents if they're doing that?
I agree. I'm screaming about it daily because I don't understand how we are allowing this unless our entire Congress is bought off. Because what they did was, they're not just merging militaries, they're standing up an entire organization in the Pentagon that says, we can funnel money in here now. That's what I did. I funneled money to these programs, and now they won't be able to track it. Citizens won't know how much we're actually sending to Israel, and you can't just undo it. And they're going to try to share systems like your SIPRs and your JWICs. They're going to share data. And once they're in, there's no unmerging them.
No,
and so they're going to have access to all of our military capabilities. And our sources and methods are, we don't even share these with our Five Eyes partners. We don't even have an agreement with Israel. And
like
yet this is what we're going to allow.
There's none with Israel.
I feel like it's incredibly like a foreign agent and semi-treasonous, to be honest, because I just don't see how this is beneficial.
To your point, I mean, they just came out with a study under Tulsi, when Tulsi was still in office, that actually that Israel was the biggest enemy as far as, and the most dangerous as far as intel above Russia.
And you're opening all of the data. To this country.
That doesn't. So obviously, like you've seen Tucker Carlson's, some of his content, and you've seen some others that are, you know, Jimmy Dore, that are speaking loudly about, hey, look, our country is being compromised. The White House is compromised. In your opinion, what do you think of those kinds of statements? Is that going too far, or do you think that we're actually dealing with compromised politicians?
No, to be honest. I do feel like we are acting like we're compromised and in a way that is not bought off, right? Like our White House, Trump is just acting like he's compromised, whether it's blackmail or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He's different than what he sold the public and in a way that's not beneficial to America. So all of the cabinet members that he has around him, the loyalists, that's where you start to see the fall of what's happening. I think that there, to be honest, my conspiracy theory, but I don't think it's a conspiracy, is that the Epstein files are the epicenter of it all. And it seems to be like everything is trying to distract from or get away from. I mean, you saw the article that came out about the Situation Room meetings. Mm-hmm. It's really sad. And I just think that's where we're at. It's a cover up for the Epstein files, and they'll do anything to make it go away.
Leah, but if they open US data, like all of the data, if they merge the data, if they open it for Israelis, but then they can be get even more compromised, no? So why are they doing it?
I don't think they care. I mean, it doesn't sound like they care. If you look at them on X and you look at what they're saying or you look at them talking, you're like, these people do not care about protecting America. They were told, this is what you're going to do, and they're going to make sure that it happens. And that's pretty clear, because if you look at all of the points, which I tried to do when I was telling people about it, right, I try not to just be one-sided, it's still scary. There's no, like, true benefit to it.
For Americans, yeah.
Yeah.
Leah, but if I may ask, because we already know something about the Epstein files, mm-hmm. like we know about the like the pedophilia, we know about mm-hmm. these crimes that we're committing, sexual crimes and all other crimes. We already know that, but still, we see American leaders, you know, launching wars, mm-hmm. killing heads of states, like of other states. So what can it be? As for you, what can it be there in the Epstein files that is even more scary?
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, at first I was, it's not like Trump, it's not Trump. He's just protecting his rich friends. But the more that he tries to get rid of it, the more I am a little concerned. I think their egos are so big. They don't want anyone to think that they were involved. Right. Like I think we know what happened, but we don't know who exactly. And if it came out, I think that would be the end of him. I think they've done more than just pedophilia. They've been eating people, and there's just horrific things in there that
the genetic component too. The genetic component. Yeah. There seems to be a lot of interest in bio labs and that kind of, you know, I did want to mention this. Back in 2000, I'm aging myself, but this is the fact. It was right before I went to law school. In 2000, I was a victim assistant with Seattle Police. And we had a training, and I was trained one-on-one for Homeland Security, because I was a trainer eventually with Homeland Security for this. And guess who my trainer was? It was a former IDF former Mossad agent who trained me. And they hired them, the Seattle Police hired them, and so did Homeland Security. And this is back in 2000. So I remember at the time I thought that was odd, but I thought, oh, well, maybe this is just her work history. But then there was like three or four people that all came from that training. And I was like, that's interesting. But I just kind of clocked it. You know, it didn't, until now. And now I'm looking at it and going, oh, they started back.
That the process has been in place for decades
decades. Yeah. So do you think that was indicative of, like, this has been in process for a while, that Israel's been planning this before Trump?
Oh, absolutely. I think actually before that with Epstein, I think that's what they set up. I mean, Ehud Barak was the head of IDF. He's the most decorated military officer, and he was almost lived with Epstein. He's the one that has TOCA, the surveillance center that can go into any camera right now live and alter the footage without anyone knowing. And that to me is such a scary capability. Right. And the fact that we have contracts with him and we don't know what they are because they're all secret. It's very concerning. I think this plan started back a long time ago, and this is just the perfect storm to kind of make it. They finally got a group to make it happen.
Consolidated.
That's my opinion, based on what I've seen.
Well, and you've seen the films of Joe Biden, who I used to work for, of him proudly declaring himself a Zionist on the House of the Senate floor. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. And I was really mystified, because I really support Candace Owens. And I like her coverage right now. But I was shocked by her interview with Hunter Biden. She apologized to him on air. She would not push back about the bio labs or the, you know, if I had asked her something, I'm not a sycophant, so if I had been there, I would have asked her, okay, what are you doing apologizing to Hunter Biden? Biden, you know, the Biden family in Ukraine is money laundered. He's influenced. He's worked with the Chinese. Like, what's going on? Like, why didn't you push? But no, she didn't. And in fact, when she was here in Russia, she didn't say one thing about the terrorist attack that the Ukrainians did. She didn't say one thing about Ukraine. And her interviews were very sycophantic. Like, she was just asked softball questions. I would have gone in and said, do you have an agreement with the Biden family? Did you just switch? did you just make an agreement to lift Hunter Biden? So, but again, I really like Candace Owens' coverage about the Iranian war and how she's pushing on Israel, but she's not pushing in the other endless wars. So I thought that was
They are scared, you know. One brief episode. Right after we filmed our previous episode with Chris Helali.
Yeah.
Christopher Helali was supposed to go to support Iranian team at the World
Mexico
Cup.
Mexico City.
Yeah, in Mexico. And can you imagine when he was at the layover in Beijing, he discovered that he was placed by FBI on the no-fly list. And
as
he was not even flying to the United States. He was flying to Mexico. So he's a U.S. citizen, and he cannot enter the United States. He cannot leave the United States, and he cannot even fly over the territory of the United States. So, I mean, of course, people are scared.
Yeah, anything that's anti-Israel. Are you receiving any pushback for your coverage and deep dives and support? You know, like, because Candace has, obviously.
Yeah.
She's talked about the threats.
I've started to. I try to keep a very low profile, as you can tell. I try to keep a low profile as far as that goes, but I was blocked by Leo Terrell, I think that was his name, and I've never even messaged him, commented on his stuff, never had anything to do with him. So the fact that last night I was on his radar is a little alarming. I post things about the atrocities of what they do, what Israel does. Not anti-Semitism, and to me, I've seen our psyops. I mean, that's what we do. That is a clear psyop, trying to tell anyone that speaks out against you. As soon as that happens, I'm like, you're just trying to cover something up. So, I have received some communications and threats, but I don't care. I don't care.
Well, so, I mean, we saw as an American, I was shocked to see Charlie Kirk murdered. In plain sight.
I was going to ask about the same thing, because after what happened to Charlie Kirk, but maybe you can elaborate, because you have a bunch of videos on this very issue. Yeah. Can you please share with our viewers what you managed to discover, please?
Yeah. As far, you want to scope it, like as far as
just
Israel
kind of
involvement or?
Well, okay. Just the summary of your investigation. Yeah.
So what I started to do with Charlie Kirk was just follow the money. I just started to look into their entities, and they have like six. And then each one of those just has a rabbit hole of its own. And I wanted to know who benefited from and after his assassination. I obviously think it's a cover up. I have traced the contract. The most interesting part of it is the contract with the explosive. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but... Yeah, in April 22nd is when that contract was signed, and it went into effect May, and it was until August for these tiny explosives, 440,000. But no procurement in the government happens like that. Like, I looked at AES procurements across all of them, and none of them were that short. And when I started digging deeper into it, I was like, no, there's something really strange about this just from the government procurement side. And that alone, with the way the FBI handled it, I can't help but not think there were multiple people involved in this. And when you follow the money, you look at Andrew Colvett, how he got into TPUSA was Johnny Moore, who is a huge, you know, pro-Israel. He was on he ran the ADL that did all those atrocities in Gaza. You have Tyler Boyer, everyone got there a really strange way. It's like they were placed there. And I don't trust any of them. They have just proven day in and day out that they are covering something up in my mind. And I think that their financials show that I think that they were doing things with the financials. Charlie Kirk found out and he asked for this audit. I do not think that is what caused him to be killed. I think it was other things. I just think it was part of the way that they got some people to help. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
I'm trying to be very careful so I don't get in trouble.
I understand. I mean, because like the coverage of Erica, it's like on one hand, you're thinking of from a human compassionate point of view, you're looking at a woman who's grieving her husband who was murdered on stage. But on the
well,
other
not
hand,
grieving.
Well, she doesn't seem to be grieving with the leather pants and
was,
the explosions.
We would believe her.
Yeah, I know. But everyone, well, what they say in the U.S. is everyone grieves differently.
That's been in its own way. Okay.
Yeah, their own way. But what are your thoughts about how could someone have gotten that close to Charlie? And would it have been his partner? Would Erica have been involved? I mean, I've watched your videos, but just if you could just give a summary of kind of following that. Because I did agree with Candace on her exposure of a lot of this and yours as well, exposing all the money and stuff and the following the train and the lies by Erica were odd.
Do you think she had some role in it?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that, but
like, Erica's an interesting one. I felt very bad for her at first. At first, you're a human, right? I never even had heard of her.
Right.
I never heard of her. So I did feel bad. But then it started with the coffin and that weird, creepy hand performance. And I was like, that's strange. And then you watch her behavior after that. And I know everyone grieves differently, but I don't buy it. I've lost half my family. I know, and some of them I thought I knew I was going to be okay. And I wasn't like... Grief is I don't buy it for a second. I think it's performance. I don't know if she had anything to do with it. I think that they kept her sheltered and she was always supposed to be the head of this because she's easily, my personal opinion, she looks like she was groomed by her mother from the very start. And her mom is, and people have handled her. And she's always just kind of been that chameleon of whatever I need to do to get into these circles. You saw her on Summer House. You saw her with Caleb, I think was his name, Phillips. And I think that when she met Charlie, that was just how it happened. That's what she latched onto. And they built it. There were so many companies that were made right after she started dating Charlie Kirk. Superfood Technologies, which is the one that her mom and Tyler Boyer sit on the board for, that's the CEO's actually over in Israel. The one that has all of the apps that people give their data to, that one was founded just 2 months after they started dating. And there were like three or four other companies that popped up. It wasn't an accident. And so I don't necessarily think she was in on it, but I do feel like she was groomed and giving information and she knew it was going to happen. And I also don't think the kids are hers. So
those are my thoughts. Yeah, I've heard that too. And that she, so it'll be interesting to see as we go further down the road with this. I feel like it's one of those truths we're not going to know for a little while, but like I like that people are still trying to get to the bottom of what happened to Charlie Kirk, because I was on his show twice. He was a very fair-minded person. Like, he had me on the show twice and we did geopolitical analysis. And the last thing he said to me was, he texted me and he said, "Tara, I'm concerned for you. I'm praying for you." And that was the last I heard from him. And it's so interesting because he was the one actually in peril. And I think he knew that. Tucker Carlson has talked about that. He knew because his opinions had started to change. I think right around 2023, 2024, they started to slowly change. And
you can tell in their financials too. Yeah, you can tell in their financials. Around 2023 was when things started to get really strange with their financials. That the endowment that they have that's supposed to be a quote unquote savings account for a rainy day, they really started bloating that. They started buying lots of real estate with it. You can just tell with the money that 2023 was a year when things started to, something happened in that organization. There was a crack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Where do you see this investigation? Because Trump shut it down. He also shut down the investigations into his own assassination attempts. So he's shut down, and Dan Bongino's gone. Tulsi Gabbard is gone. And now you have Cash, who's still hanging by a thread, I think, but probably gone soon. What are your thoughts on that, on these investigations?
Oh, I wish. I think he's awful. I think Kash Patel is awful, but he is such a loyalist that I think that's the only reason he's hanging on. Trump, them shutting down the investigation into that and Butler is a huge red flag for me, period. Why wouldn't you want to know who killed Charlie Kirk, who publicly assassinated him. I've never bought it. And anyone that's not trying to dig into it is insulting the people who are. And I just find that to be very bizarre behavior. So, I mean, my theory on Butler was that it was the rumor, the investigations that people have done where Mary Madison were going to give Trump money, right? She offered him $200 and something million. He said he wasn't going to take it. And then Butler happened. Part of me wonders if Butler was their attempt to say, look, we can get to you if you're not going to take the money. There's other things. Part of me wonders if it was that. Mm-hmm. I know people are saying that he might have staged it himself, but I don't know. Part of me just, yeah. So I think that they shut it down because they were able to shut it down.
That's a palatable theory. It'd be interesting to go down that rabbit hole at some point. Yeah, definitely.
Leah, we started, you know, when we discussed this potential deal mm-hmm. with Iran and Trump's constant threats to use nuclear weapons. It's not for the first time. It's not for the second time that we hear. And we see him playing this card. And also in your videos, you mentioned, which is a fact, that Peter Thiel moved his family to Argentina. Also, we see Ivanka Trump kind of, you know, building an island that would be completely independent, like in terms of electricity. So, I mean, maybe those things are not connected, but maybe they are. So are they really like preparing for a doomsday? Are they preparing for a, I don't know, nuclear catastrophe? What do you think of that? What's going on?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The Peter Thiel move was he actually started building companies down there. They take the leftover. I was researching like why would he have moved there, and he had invested a lot of money into a company there that took the oil like leftovers and started to create energy for it. Mm-hmm. And so he has a huge stake down there. But you know, in the end, the Jericho missile, when I saw its reach that Israel has, it can reach the United States, it can reach everywhere, but Argentina it cannot. And I thought that was interesting. In the end, you know, I do wonder if they could just reach us with a nuke. But we are so big, and I just don't see why so many people would move away for one nuke. You'd have to attack like a lot, not just once, right? So I don't know. I don't know, actually, yet. I don't have an opinion. I'm still collecting information on this one. So
still looking at the data
TBD.
Points. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still looking at the data points for this one.
No, but thank you so much for that, because you're really raising awareness of people in the United States, all over the world, mm-hmm. on what's going on. And you, like, dig out those hidden things, so many of them. We only touched a bunch of them during our show, but there's many more to come.
Yeah, so in the last couple of minutes we have here, because you are actively doing deep dives, for you, what is the most important deep dive or things that you're unearthing? Because I noticed particularly you're good at revealing corruption, economic corruption. Mm-hmm. What are you working on right now that really has you, that there'd be more content to come that you're looking at?
Oh, I have like five or six going on at one time. I have, luckily as I grow, I get information from sources. And so there is, I think Jared Kushner is next up, his affinity partners, his Middle East dealings. I think this one is really important. I try to get ahead of any confirmations that our Senate is going to do, mm-hmm. You know, like DNI, because if I can get them information on them, it just doesn't seem like they do proper due diligence. So I am trying to get better at that. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, I think if I can get more, instead of being reactive about it, instead mm-hmm. of saying, oh, this person's financially corrupt, getting ahead of it would be my ultimate goal. So I think coming into midterms, I am trying to do due diligence on every single candidate for people so that we come in informed. And that is, I think, what my focus is lately. I'm still tracking behind. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, are things going to shift with the midterms? Because you mentioned the midterms, and you'll see who's coming in for confirmation. But do you think that the Democrats are going to take over? Not that it makes that much difference, but...
I do, actually. I think... Where they're getting it wrong, where the Republicans are getting it wrong, is that the Republican Party is so divided, and they've lost a lot of people, but you won't be able to tell in a primary, right? Because it's Republican. So the person that Trump puts up will probably win, because the other, the fractured part isn't going to go vote. That's just what it is. They're like, I'll stay home. Where that will matter is when it's a Republican against a Democrat. And I don't think that they realize this yet. They're riding this high that their candidate won, but it's because everyone else is just staying home. And so I do think there's a large chance that the Democrats could take the majority come midterms, just based on the fractured Republican Party and the inability of them to see this and kind of fix it.
Thank you. Thank you for raising awareness of people on what's going on.
Yeah.
Because some things can be changed from what I know. Mm-hmm. If they approach to their congressman, if they bring that they're aware of what's going on and they're scared of the changes taking place. Mm-hmm. So maybe they can change it slightly, the policy at least, right?
Yeah. And you know, you really have done a great job with bringing out some of the economic, like Todd Blanche, his you know, very concerning economic ties. And he acts like Trump's attorney, basically. He's not acting mm-hmm. like a professional in the field. And really, you know, what's striking to me with the Epstein files, you had all these victims, some that were not named, that have now been, you know, basically put their names have been put out there, and it's very dangerous. In fact, there's one, she was missing. Her parents had reported her missing. It was a model. And now it's been discovered. She's been missing 11 years and she was in the Epstein files. I mean, I think there's so much to look at there, and it just seems like the investigations are frozen. They're not doing anything for these victims. But
no, it's really disgusting to me. And Todd Blanche, I think, was always supposed to lead the, I think Pam Bondi was just the fall guy for the Epstein files. I think Todd Blanche was always supposed to push this and get rid of it. He's Trump's fixer. But when you look at the files, you see even the memo from New York the day before Epstein was killed himself that announced his death. There's emails about Ghislaine Maxwell joining a shadow 9/11 committee. Like, it is so dark and so deep that, I think any powers that be would want this brushed under the rug and just hidden. But I think it would change the dynamic of our entire country and what we thought.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know we don't know each other well, but hopefully we'll get to meet when I come visit the U.S. at some point. And, you know, we were really delighted to have you. I know you mentioned on one of your shows that you were like 6 foot tall and that you had a fall recently. Yeah. Are you okay? Are you, you're recovered from that?
Yeah, no, I am 6 feet. I fell backwards on my stairs and broke my tailbone. No, it's pretty painful. I'm on week four, but it's...
But
Don't recommend.
Yeah. Olga just took
it
a
happened
spill.
To me the same. I'm going
She's
for
tall.
A trip tomorrow, but yesterday I fell on the stairs while taking my dog for a walk. So, but I mean, you cannot stop the process. I have to go on a trip because it's Russia-ASEAN summit taking place in Kazan. So, I mean, I cannot miss this this summit. And by the way, it's just for those who say that Russia is isolated, you know. We're still dazed from St. Petersburg Economic Forum with 25,000 participants from 143 states. And there is a summit, like Russia-ASEAN summit, and summit is like heads of states coming to Russia. And then in autumn, we'll have Russia-Africa summit. So, you know, it reminds me of an old Daily Mail headline, you know, when the British newspaper about the weather forecast, when they're saying storm hits the channel, continent isolated. So, I mean, it reminds me of that when we speak about Russia being isolated. But thank you so much for being with us, Lee. And I would honestly ask you to take care.
Yeah, take good care.
Because Chris Halali was lucky at least to come back safely to Russia. It's like unpredictable what can happen to people who reveal truth nowadays. Yeah. So I would beg you to take care, please.
Please do take care. And, you know, I know that Israel spent, I think it was $60 million or more. I could be off on the number to try to silence those accounts that are trying to bring truth. So it's getting harder and harder to fight that algorithm. But you're doing well. Your numbers on TikTok and X and other places show how people are so hungry for real independent investigation. So thank you.
No. Thank you all so much for having me. And I keep my head on a swivel. So
yeah, there you go. We'll
thank see. You for the job you're doing and like the news you're digging and bringing to the public. And to our viewers, please stay in touch with us. We'll try to bring more exciting guests like Leah today on our show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And follow us on all the socials as you've been doing. And we appreciate your comments and guest suggestions. And have a safe trip, Olga, and stay on your feet.
Thank you.
Stay on your feet, kid. All right, peace
Take
out.
Care.
Take care.